So now we have like 38 millionaires, and you can see from beginning, to like hitting seven figures. None of them make much in year one. Year two is when the inflection starts because you start seeing more like bigger gains, but they still lose sometimes. It's really year three and year four.
So there's the answer.
It's like college.
So if you're just starting, get comfortable.
I say it's a marathon, not a sprint. There are strategies out there that can be profitable, but no one wants to talk about the landmines that are hidden. So for me, I teach very safe trading. Yeah. I have lots of losses, small 1, 2, 3% losses, but I don't even short sell anymore because the squeezes have gotten too crazy. I lost 27 grand a few months ago. I'm adding to a biotech that's crashing. Didn't even check, like, I freaking am an investor in stocks to trade. You have to understand, in the past 5 years, I haven't had a loss of more than $6,000.
In a day.
While I was making like 3 million, not one loss, wow, more than six, like very controlled discipline. Wow. Then it just all went to hell. Short selling ages you.
It does.
So it's like,
being a bear in general in America against American markets
never
is
never paid to bet against America for a while. But you learn from your losses. Like, I still remember the $27,000 loss. I still remember my first big loss on Cygnus E transactions where I believed in the company. Getting obsessed with your education over profits, process over profits. None of my millionaire students wanted $1 million right away. They all followed instructions. They were studious.
What's up, traders? Welcome to the Day Trading Show. Today, I'm sitting down with Tim Sykes. Now, most of you know Tim. He needs no introduction. However, today, you're going to learn a lot about Tim and his business that you haven't heard in other interviews. So stay through. I think the best piece of advice he gives is actually at the end of this video. It might have been clipped in the intro about like what we're going to talk about, but you've got to hear the entire clip. Tim is a talker. I try my best to not interrupt him, but when you put two Jews that talk a lot together, naturally someone's going to speak over the other. So hopefully you guys can fight through and still find the value in this episode. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss any of our future episodes. Now let's get into it with Tim. Did you know that the pass rate on funding challenges is less than 20%? So what are you going to do differently in 2024 to set yourself apart from the 80% that fail? Most of you are going to need a coach. The way I can help you is through the Black Shirt Club. We have four funded full-time traders with a combined experience of over 15 years in markets ready at your disposal to help you get funded, stay funded, and most importantly, get those payouts and keep them coming in the door. So if you're interested in the Black Shirt Club, book a free call with me down below. There's a link for you to do that. Let's hop on and see if you're a good fit. With the Black Shirt Club, you're going to get the starter pack, a year to trade Zella, private weekly coaching calls, daily live trading together, everything you need to get funded, stay funded, and get paid out. So let me help you. Book a call, use the link down below, and let's get back to the video. Traders, we've got a very special episode today. I am extremely honored and humbled to have, they call you the godfather of penny stocks, the goat of penny stocks. I'm just going to say, the man who makes more millionaires than most people.
Cool.
Tim Sykes.
I'll take that. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Dude, thank you for making this happen.
No, big fan of your show. You're doing great work.
I appreciate that. We've been mutually connected, like I said, through Roland and through David and some of your other students, and I'm looking forward to hopefully meeting more of them in the future.
For sure.
So for the beginning of the podcast, let's talk about your millionaire students because I've done my research. I did some digging.
Yeah.
And you don't talk about them enough, I feel like. It's really like in the back half of the interviews that you really start getting into the success of some of these people.
Yeah.
But just recently, David and what's the other guy's
Andrew.
Name? Andrew. David and Andrew, two new millionaire students.
Start 2024.
That's huge.
Good start. Yeah.
It's huge. How does it feel to say I create millionaires?
It's amazing. This is why I work so hard. This is why I can work on like 3 hours sleep because I never had a mentor. I never had a teacher. So I always think like, even though I've made millions, I made so many boneheaded mistakes. I never had a proper structure with my education and it's held me back. So I'm always thinking, how do I help others and prevent what's happened to me happen to others? It's cool. Like, okay, I turned 12,000 into 7 million, but I could be at 50 million if I had a mentor. I might be at 100 million. Like I've done things so backwards, and I don't want that for my students.
Well, you know, I think a lot of people will look at that from the outside and they'll think, Tim, you could make more money if you would stop focusing on other people and just traded yourself. Would you agree with that?
Yes, but they're wrong because I'm not that great of a trader. I'm a better teacher. And I found what's more meaningful for me. Trading after a while, I've been trading for a quarter of a century now. It gets old. Like even people see like I'm trading and I get excited because I trade small. I donate all my trading profits to charity these days. That makes it meaningful for me. And so like big traders laugh at me. Like literally I'm at dinner with like Lucas Short Bear and he makes much more. I mean, he's had $1 million days lately fantastic trader. And like we were on a food tour in England and he was longing AI. I think he made like 400,000 at the lunch table. And I was like trading a sympathy AI play and I made like $600. And he's like ice cold veins, like, yep, 400K, very nice. And I'm like, 600 bucks, let's go.
It's so funny because I'm the same way. And this is getting to a really important question. I feel the same way as you. I don't feel, and maybe I got this from you, because for those of you that don't know, Tim is the reason I got into day trading, one of the first courses I'd ever seen.
Nice.
Yeah, you and Cameron Foose.
Beautiful.
The thing that I think stands out that I've kind of maybe gotten from you is I realize I'm not the best trader, but I can be a really great coach. I can be a really great teacher, inspire other people, and make a difference in their lives. And that's what motivates me as well. So we share that commonality.
If you're just real, you have to remember most people who teach in this industry are just scams. They don't want to show all their trades. They don't want to show all their rules.
They don't want to show their mistakes.
Definitely don't want to show their losses, right? Like if you look at like a lot of short sellers on Twitter, like, oh, here's my little $3,000 gain, $5,000 gain. Then you get a squeeze. Oh, I didn't trade today.
Right.
Oh, you're on vacation. Oh, what a fortunate coincidence.
Meanwhile, they probably blew their account or whatever it may
be. And this is the thing. So it's like there's strategies out there that can be profitable, but no one wants to talk about the landmines that are hidden. So for me, I teach very safe trading.
Yeah.
I have lots of losses, small 1, 2, 3% losses, but I don't even short sell anymore because the squeezes have gotten too crazy.
But when they hear you say 600 bucks, it feels great to me. I think some people would be like, well, why aren't you scaling? Why aren't you trying to get to that, to the short bears
level? I've scaled up and now I scale down. I've gone the other way.
I know.
I'm like Benjamin Button. I'm going in reverse.
Because you feel that this is the sweet spot.
It's the sweet spot for me. I'm traveling all the time. I'm, you know, because I'm donating to charity, not just the money, but I'm also filming documentaries,
right.
You know, sharing it on social media. That's what really motivates me. And more importantly, my students have small accounts. So I trade like a newbie because I think this is a way that newbies should trade. And that helps students learn. Does no good if I make like $100,000 in a day and I take a massive position and then like a student tries to do the same thing. Like, I want to make $100,000.
Right, it actually hurts
them.
And
they lose it.
Right.
So if you look at my millionaire students, it's actually fascinating. Tim Grittani, 1,500 of his own money into nearly 15 million. Have you had him on?
I have not yet.
I'll introduce you.
Please.
Amazing guy. I just saw him in Ohio the other day.
Very humble guy too.
Very humble.
Yes.
But early on in his career, he was plus or minus $50, $100, $200. Like he shows all of his trades on Profitly. Early on, he's like lost $18 trading implosion. And you think like this guy is now made, you know, arguably one of the most successful penny stock traders in the world.
Yep.
And he started small. Jack Kellogg, over 12 million now, same thing. And like, if you look at my top students, they start very small. And I need to get more people to trade small. They don't want to. Because you want to trade bigger, you want the money now, but you don't want to develop or refine good habits. So I say like you have to build that foundation, paper trade, trade with 100 shares. It doesn't matter what you make or lose in the first 6 months.
Even a year.
2 years.
What do you think the learning curve is for someone of your millionaire students if they have mentorship? Of course, like don't say a random person, but
no.
If someone's in your courses or in
courses. Well, this is the cool thing. So now we have like 38 millionaires and you can see from beginning.
38.
You can see from beginning to like hitting seven figures. None of them make much in year one. Year two is when the inflection starts because you start seeing more like bigger gains, but they still lose sometimes. It's really year three and year four.
So there's the answer.
It's like college.
So if you're just starting, get comfortable.
I say it's a marathon, not a sprint. I've been working on this video where everywhere I travel, I do a little video and I say it's a marathon, not a sprint for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, and I just walk. We now have like a 4+ hour video.
That's
I'm
awesome.
Waiting until it's over 5 hours where you can see it's a marathon, not a sprint. But that's what it is. So like you have to start small, refine your focus, find patterns, and it's also different markets. Like
yeah.
I'm not trading Apple or Amazon where there's volatility every day and you're trading like little spreads.
Sure.
Penny stocks need to be in vogue. Like
right.
2020, 2021, I didn't have enough fingers to do all the trades, like I said, right?
Yeah.
Like it was crazy.
Crazy.
2020, 2021, those were my two best years ever in 25 years of trading.
Wow.
So many opportunities. And I was trading for students. Like I was like helping them understand like, okay, this is a good pattern. I wasn't trading for maximum profits. I have all these video lessons, all the DVDs on specific patterns.
Right.
So I was trading to show students these patterns.
Which makes sense because you're trying to educate, like you said, from that
ground
up level.
Over the structure, you know?
Yeah.
So like it would make no difference if I just took like a random trade and made a lot of money, but it didn't fit one of my patterns. That would encourage gambling.
It would encourage bad habits.
So I want to encourage good habits.
Right.
So even if it's more boring and safer, like I was trading with Jack Kellogg one time. Kyle Williams, have you had Kyle
no,
on?
No, I don't know Kyle.
I gotta introduce you. He's another one of my students who's just done amazing. He's closing in on 5 million.
Wow.
He was in college and he was crossing 1 million Every time a student crosses a million, we like to go visit him and surprise them.
That's awesome.
I went up to New Hampshire to surprise Jack. I dressed as Santa.
I did see that
His girlfriend
video.
Let me into the
That's
apartment.
So
I was
funny.
Like, ah!
That's so funny.
Kyle's a vegetarian, so me and a few other millionaire students, we went to San Diego. We dressed up as giant vegetables.
Oh, my God.
I was
God.
A mushroom. People thought I looked like a penis. It was a mushroom. But we were there, and this was in the mania, and it was me, Jack Kellogg, Matt Monaco, another one of my millionaire students, and Bryce Tuohy, and they were all, and Kyle, and they were all making like 100, 150 grand on the day. They're trading bigger. And I sized up because I was like with them, and I was like, oh, let me size up a little, and it was a mania. And I made like 53,000 on the day. And that was big for me because I trade small conservatively. And Jack looked at me and he's like, good job. And he said this like condescendingly.
Right.
And I was like, you little runt. Like,
right.
He literally was in diapers when I first started trading.
Literally.
But he sized up.
But
you
that's
know?
So amazing to see these guys that you got them into trading coming in and then outperforming you.
That's
right?
Beautiful. And this is what I love. I'm not angry about it. I want them to. And I think anybody can outperform me. I'm not best case scenario. Most people want to do best case scenario on Twitter, only show the best trades. I'm just like middle of the road. You know how many boneheaded mistakes I still make?
A lot.
I lost 27 grand a few months ago. I'm adding to a biotech that's crashing. Didn't even check. Like, I freaking am an investor in StoxyTrade. I say, always use StoxyTrade, StoxyTrade breaking news. I don't even open StoxyTrade breaking news. I'm like, oh, it's just a volatile biotech pre-market. I got to ride it. I didn't even realize they did a toxic financing. They issued positive news with their drug. And then like 30 minutes later, they did a financing. Usually, even the scummiest biotechs do good news in the morning, financing in the afternoon.
Right.
But this was like 30 minutes apart. Didn't even occur to me.
Wow.
And I literally tell students to use StoxyTrade breaking news. I didn't use it. I lost 27
grand. You also
grand.
Tell people don't add to losers.
Yeah, I broke all my rules.
Cut losses fast. Oh, cut losses fast.
And
right?
I had a fat finger mistake. I wanted to buy 8,000 shares.
And you did 80.
I did 80,000 shares.
God.
And then I doubled up and then I got 160,000. So I have 20 times the size in a stock that just did a financing. And I'm going long. My biggest position in years, and it's my biggest loss in years.
How'd you get out of that trade?
I just cut it.
Just
I mean,
it. At some point, the pain.
At some point, I'm like, wait a minute, something's wrong. And so, like, I saw the price action. I was like, this looks like a financing. Then I checked StoxyTrade breaking news, and I'm like, you idiot! Like, why wouldn't I check it before I put in the money? So I still make mistakes, and that blew my mind. I've been trading extra small since that. That was like maybe a year ago. You have to understand, in the past 5 years, I haven't had a loss of more than $6,000
in a day.
While I was making like $3 million, not one loss,
wow,
more than six, like very controlled discipline.
Wow.
Then it just all went to hell.
I wonder what you did the night before that trade. Didn't sleep well.
No.
Because like you're traveling all the time, so the routine is off.
But so I actually trade better when I was traveling.
Really?
So the funny thing is I was actually in Austin. I remember this.
Okay.
So I had decent Wi-Fi and I wasn't jet lagged. That's a problem. I need to stay jet lagged. I need to stay terrible Wi-Fi. And I need to be in an interesting place where I don't want to trade. If I'm in a place like Miami or Austin, okay, we can film. It's nice to meet you. That's cool. Austin, like StoxyTrade has offices there. But there's not that much interesting stuff going on. So I'm just like, okay, let me trade.
Board trading.
Board gambling, degenerate trading.
When you lose Wi-Fi, it actually can't, you can't micromanage the trade as much. So it actually could help be helpful.
So bad Wi-Fi, it's crazy. I know how this sounds, but like bad Wi-Fi and jet lag keeps me from over trading because I'm like, I don't want to trade. I'm not in an ideal setup.
Wow.
So I'm only going to trade.
It kind of makes sense. If you've been trading, people will hear that and say, yeah, that
I'm
makes sense.
I'm only going to trade when there's a play that's so good I would feel guilty missing it.
Right. That's
and that's
trade.
Like, I'm like, okay, I was in, you know, Manila, the Philippines and Thailand, and I'm going back to Bali. So much stuff going on. We have charity projects. It's amazing restaurants, like so much to see, so much to do. I don't want to trade. And that's why I trade the best. I was just in Asia for 2 weeks. I think over a two-week period, I did like six trades, all winners.
And
some of them like 30, 40% winners.
When you're in Asia, because it's a 12-hour time difference,
yeah,
basically.
13 hours. Sometimes, yeah.
So that kind of feeds trading the way that you want to trade now, which is buying on a Friday, selling on a Monday, right? So what are you doing? Buying like a Thursday night, Friday night kind of thing, sell it on a Monday morning.
That's it. In that simple strategy. I mean, there was AUVI. I was literally trading from the airport and the stock was coiling. It was already up like 40%, but it was a low flow play. Already had, you know, breaking news, good catalyst. And I was like, this looks like it can break out. So I bought it at 308. The day high was 325. Some people in my chat room are like, why aren't you buying the high of the day breakout? I'm like, no, you don't understand. Low floats can just run. I don't want to try to buy that breakout. So sitting there, Jack Kellogg was actually giving a webinar. So Jack gives webinars for my challenge now. He's giving a webinar. He's analyzing my trade. While I'm in the trade, I'm on a layover in Bangkok. And I'm at the airport trading this, and I'm like, I don't really want to trade. It's in the middle of the night. It's like 3 a.m. I'm waiting for like my 6 a.m. flight. And I'm like, I have to take this trade. It's a perfect setup. I bought it at 308. It's like just hanging around 308, 305, 310 for like 20 minutes. Jack gives me the go ahead. He's like, okay, good trade. I was like, ooh, Jack agrees. Good. We're setting it up. We're just waiting for 325 to crack. Finally, like 20 minutes later, 325 does crack. In 1 second, 325 to 377 halted. Wow. When it reopens, 455. Wow. And I got out in the fours. And I made like 46% from a layover. At first, I traded in the airport. To exit, I was on the plane. The stewardess is like, you have to put away your laptop.
You're like, no, I'm not putting away my laptop.
Stupidest scenario. And that's my best trade in months. And
I can see the headline now. Spirit Airlines flight. Tim Sykes fights flight attendant as she tries to take his laptop.
I mean, yeah. that's literally what it was. And like, it was crazy how that works. But I have hundreds of stories like that. So
I'm sure.
For me, I like to travel. I like these small trades that I can do from anywhere. And that's another reason why I don't size up. Like, I wouldn't take a big trade there. I only had a few thousand shares. I made less than $5,000. But it was beautiful. Anybody could see it. Anybody could be like, whoa, this is amazing.
Can I be honest?
Yeah.
I think you should call yourself the Derek Jeter. because really what you're saying to everybody is, I hit singles.
I say Ichiro.
Ichiro. We'll take that. Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth hit home runs.
Did he? Was he home runs? Yes. More than singles? Okay. Bro, that's old. All right, I'm not that old.
Babe Ruth is a home run guy.
He's the home run king? Is that
yes.
what he is? Okay. Sorry.
Not Babe Ruth. Ichiro.
I'm not a big baseball fan. It's so boring.
It is.
It's super boring. It is. Compared to other sports.
I was a Ken Griffey Jr. fan until okay. I met him.
But that was the good days of baseball because everybody was juicing.
Yeah.
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 But what I was going to say is the singles, because you said this in that other interview, 500 to 1,000 a day. I feel like right now, I've been trading, let's say, 8 years-ish, 9 years. My sweet spot is $500 to $1,500 a day. I think that's great money. If you can show up and make $1,000 in 20 minutes,
it's perspective,
but
right?
You know what is enough. That's the thing, Tim, and I feel like that's what people need to hear right now.
You can live a really good life.
Exactly.
You don't
what is
need
enough?
To go for home runs. Like some of the biggest traders I know, they hate trading because they'll take the trades. Even if they win, they're so stressed out. Short sellers, like I make fun of short sellers, they don't like it. Even some of my millionaire students are mainly short sellers, and they look like they're 80 years old. Short selling ages you.
It does.
So it's like...
Being a bear in general in America against American markets
is...
It's never paid to bet against America for a while.
But even some of these squeezes, they're just crazier. Like, I've made millions shorting, but the squeezes were never this crazy.
But I think beyond just the singles, you're very humble. Even though you are known as the Lamborghini douchebag guy, you used
I have no
to be.
Cars. I sold these cars years ago.
Right.
But the freaking photos keep going.
Of course. But you're humble in the sense... And I think...
You gotta stay humble.
Would you say that... Sit down.
Stay humble.
All right, Kendrick. Would you say that that is a common characteristic of your millionaire students? They are humble?
No. I'm not like them. So I teach people to be humble and conservative, but the millionaire students start out that way, which is how I want them to, but through their own data, through their own experience, they get more aggressive. And that's what I want, right? Mm. So like... People change. It's like a little, you know, like a butterfly. It's like a metamorphosis.
Yeah.
Where I want to teach people to be humble and conservative at first. The millionaire students, not even when they're millionaires, when they make six figures. Like most of my students start with like $2,000, $5,000.
Right.
That's when you should be humble, when you don't have a lot of money or a lot of experience. But then they get the money, they get the experience, they don't trade humbly.
Mm.
And that's fine. That's how it should be.
Yeah.
I always tell students, get more aggressive later on your own. I'm just training wheels, okay?
That's a great way to put it.
Make analogies galore. I'm like, Woody and Buzz in, Toy Story.
Yeah.
Andy goes off for college. I'm the hidden toy, like, you could say, like, Interview the Vampire. I'm Kirsten Dunst. I'm forever like a little child, right? Like, this is what I am.
Yeah.
And I recognize that. It's my specialty. It's what I'm good at. I'll teach people how to make $500 or $5,000 all day long. That's my sweet spot.
Do you look at yourself more as an entrepreneur or as a trader?
I don't care. Labels are stupid.
Well, because you've started Stocks to Trade. You've started Karmagawa. You've got these other things. Labels are stupid. But I feel like you are a renaissance man in a way. You do a lot of different things. You're a foodie. You're a traveling guy. Like, you're so many different things.
I just do whatever motivates me, right? Like, you got to stay motivated. And
sure. We
do live, I say this often, we live in the most fascinating time in human history where you can do anything.
Yeah.
With technology, like, just us filming this, like, showing everything. What do we got back here? We got Bitcoin?
Bitcoin.
Why? You know, like... I'm not a big fan of crypto, but I like the volatility. Watch out for scammers. If you think that you're talking to me on Telegram or Discord or
yeah, we need
you're
that
not.
Disclaimer.
There's no Timothy Sykes 576. Like, Timothy, I haven't heard from you in 2 weeks. You're managing my Bitcoin account. I'm like, oh my God.
I get that. It's crazy.
So many scammers.
It's crazy.
So there's scams, But I appreciate the technological promise of Bitcoin. I appreciate the technological promise of AI.
And blockchain.
Everything.
Sure.
And we're able to do this. People take it for granted. We don't think like, oh, 2020 is the worst year ever. Shut up.
Right.
You have no idea.
No idea.
Okay? There's actually a book I'm reading. It was like year 536 or year 537, 1,500 years ago. That was the worst year
Way
ever.
Way worse.
There was a volcano.
Right.
And it covered like a quarter of the world and half the crops died. Half the US, half the American or the worldwide population
died. Yeah.
Not just America.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm drunk. I know what you mean. So it has been way worse. So people need to be, in a way,
it's perspective.
Perspective, but also have some aggression mixed with humility to say, hey, now is the time for me to get rich. Now is the time for me to get into this, because you're big on that. You're big on getting people into
so
trading.
You get in, you start small into anything. It could be trading, it could be entrepreneurship. I see like drop shipping, you know,
e-commerce,
whatever works.
Yeah.
You try different things and you try small and you test, and then you can't be afraid to fail. Like, you know, this is VCs, like fail fast, fail often.
Sure.
You learn from your failures.
Right.
You can't be afraid to fail. You can't be afraid to lose. I'm literally doing a boot camp with people and I'm like, it's okay to lose small. You lose $50, you lose $20. It's not okay to bet big, use leverage, 10 to 1, 50 to 1, some of these crazy firms. You want all the money right away. Because even if you do make a lot of money right away, you're going to lose it because you're not, you haven't earned it. You can't cheat your way to success. You can't cheat your way to wisdom.
It's true.
You have to experience it. I say cut losses quickly. Ignore me if you want. Don't cut losses quickly. Take a giant loss, then realize why I teach.
Right.
A lot of people don't listen to the rules that I teach because they're boring, they're frustrating. Then they have to experience it. Then they're like, oh, then it clicks. So this is why like a lot of my students succeed in year two, year three. They know my rules, but they don't really believe them. They have to see it.
They
got to
touch the hot stove a couple times, get burned. Why do you think people fear loss in trading so much?
I mean, no one wants to look like a loser. No one wants to admit defeat.
But when you study successful traders, like if you go into another business, being a doctor, you study all of the medical research over the years and you learn from those lessons. Okay, when you come into trading, you should study successful traders and learn those lessons. Every successful trader that's been around for more than a few years will tell you, get comfortable learning how to take losses well.
Yeah.
But when you get into trading, it's very difficult.
That's annoying. That's boring. That's like
losing is boring.
Everyone says like eat broccoli and asparagus is good for you. How many people eat broccoli and asparagus?
Not as many as they should.
Like it's, you don't necessarily want to do the necessary habits, right?
Yeah.
But you should. So it's like, this is why I just try to teach them and they hear it and it goes in one ear and out the other. And then they lose big. I probably get like 3 emails a day from people who didn't listen to me. And they're like, I wish I did. And I'm like, I'm not in this. I told you so, but at least you learned. And you learn from your losses. Like, I still remember the $27,000 loss. I still remember my first big loss on Cygnus E transactions where I believed in the company. They basically invented print and hold ticketing.
This is the one that you got your family into.
CYGT, got my family, had my hedge fund. Ended up losing roughly $1 million in my $3 million hedge fund. Destroyed my whole credibility. The hedge fund still finished up. You know, I didn't blow up. But when you lose like roughly 30% in 1 year, killer.
Yeah.
But I deserve that loss because I believed in the company. I didn't have the necessary battle scars. So a lot of the reason why my students succeed year two, year three, year four, you have battle scars. You have emotional scars. You remember what not to do, like touching a stove. Baby's going to touch a stove in the beginning, but the baby's not going to keep touching the stove unless they have like mental problems, right?
Right.
It's like, oh, I like this. Ah, oh, the pain is good. Right. Then it's like, whoa, seek a therapist. some people in trading need therapy.
You don't
necessarily need to trade, like seek therapy.
I have people that I'm coaching right now that are successful from their previous career.
Mm-hmm.
And when they come into trading, they think they're going to be successful right away. And it's really hard to get someone to understand you are a baby now and you're going to have to touch a stove, see it's hot and not touch it again.
Yeah.
They keep touching it. They keep touching it because it's really hard to hold yourself to a standard of discipline. But before we go off of the students topic, I want to hit a couple more things.
Tell me.
With your successful students, is there any commonality that someone that's listening to this could say, okay, I know I suck at focus, so let me improve my focus, because all of Tim's millionaire students are really good at focusing. Or maybe is there a specific pattern or is there a specific niche within trading that you could say would give somebody a little bit of a head start, a little bit of like down the right path?
So 3 things. First, you start with just 1 or 2 patterns. You don't need to know everything. You try to say, okay, like for me, I like morning panic dip buys when there's some stock that's up 4, 5, 6 days in a row, crashes 20, 30, 40% near the market open, stop loss is going off, pricing inefficiency develops, you get a bounce of 5, 10, 15%. You can plan ahead for these morning panics because you see the stock going up for several days.
Sure.
So it's like sitting there. Sometimes
sure.
it doesn't bounce that much, but like it's set up and the stop losses go off. It's pretty cool to see.
Yeah.
Or, you know, my Friday to Monday buying a stock late Friday, selling Monday.
So you have those patterns. Got my patterns.
Simple patterns, seeing them in action over and over again. Okay. Secondly, getting obsessed with your education over profits, process over profits. None of my millionaire students wanted $1 million right away. They all followed instructions. They were studious. And so they built a foundation of knowledge. Because if you don't have a foundation of knowledge or rules or discipline, no matter what you make later on, it's all going to crumble. This is an architecture 101, 100%. Right? If you have a weak foundation, I don't care if you're building 5 floors, 50 floors, 100, it's all going to fall down.
Yeah.
So you need that foundation. So they have the right perspective.
Okay.
And then third, like I said, it's testing small, betting small, willing to make mistakes. Like Andrew, my latest millionaire student, or a second latest millionaire student now with David. Andrew blew up his first, like, I think two or three thousand dollar accounts. But he kept at it because he saw the patterns working and then he adapted. David, talking about studious, he joined my challenge, didn't have enough money for like Wi-Fi. He was driving Uber.
Yep.
So he parked in the parking lot of a Target and he was bumming Wi-Fi off Target at night studying my videos. So it's like, think about that work ethic. Work ethic, being humble, wanting it, accepting failure in the beginning, adapting, never giving up.
I love that. Great answer. You mentioned the hedge fund. I've heard about why it dissolved, that trade being one of the reasons.
Yeah.
I know from your personality, maybe it just didn't really fit you, being a guy with a suit in an office, not traveling, right? Have you thought about, as these prop firms have been popping up online, have you thought about starting your own prop firm? Have you thought about getting into that space? Does it interest you at all?
No, not at all.
Okay. What's your opinion on the prop firm space, if you don't mind?
Well, prop firms are based on profits. So you can't learn properly because you have to profit. Like, otherwise, you're not part of the prop firm anymore. Like,
it's true.
It's not ideal for learning. And for me, it's all about learning. Also, there's different markets, right? Like, yeah. Prop firms and, I mean, Wall Street as a whole, like, you get paid, like, monthly, quarterly, yearly. Like, there's bonuses. What if it's not a hot market? With penny stocks, for me, it's all about, can you be prepared when there's opportunity? Like I said, we're not trading like Google, Apple, Facebook spreads or Meta spreads, right? Where there's options and there's trades every day.
Right.
With penny stocks, you have to really wait. And if you wait, sometimes you wait a week, sometimes you wait 2 weeks for a really good setup, then one trade in a few minutes can pay for everything. Yep. So it's very different than normal trading. So it just doesn't apply to the prop firm model or the Wall Street model.
That's a good answer.
It's really ideal for individuals. People, I have students with full-time jobs, part-time jobs. It's for average people. So I really like teaching average people. And most people think that average people shouldn't trade. I think the opposite.
I feel like that's probably where you get a lot of flack from, like, the New York Wall Street guys. They're like, average guys can't trade. We take their money. Goldman takes their money. What do you say to those people? Like, even the guys that are successful, like Lance from SMB, they probably would say, stop teaching these people how to trade. They're not going to get consistent and make money long term.
I agree. They shouldn't trade what the prop firm traders trade. You need to pick your spots. And with penny stocks, there aren't that many prop firms or hedge funders trading penny stocks because there's not enough money to be made.
The float,
so you
small,
have like promoters and scammers and idiots. And like, there's opportunity if you're just meticulous. Like, some of these scams are so obvious.
It's crazy.
Why I've made millions shorting. A lot of my millionaire students have made millions shorting. Scams go up. You can ride a scam. Like, early on in my teaching career, I had a blog post where I said, why I invested $50,000 into this scam. And people are like, what? You know it's a scam and you're putting, what is this? Like, some reverse
psychology?
It's a good
title. It's a good title.
But I did, because I was like, this scam is designed to go up. And the bottom of the disclaimers, promoters used to say, we've been paid X amount of money or shares for a 2-week awareness campaign. And you're buying it on the first green day, you know that they're going to promote for 2 weeks.
Dude, you know what's funny? You used to teach about this. And my dad used to send me the emails. This is like 10 years ago, 5 years ago. That he used to send me the emails that he would get of like the new weed stock.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Dad, you are the guy that Tim Sykes used to teach us that the promoters are sending the emails to pump up this stock. It's probably a scam.
Yeah.
And it's easy to fall for. Like, the old boomers tend to fall for it. So like anything in life, there's going to be winners and losers. It's just about positioning yourself, like you're saying, on the right side of this penny stock world.
I mean, you could be financially knowledgeable or you can stay naive and become the sucker. It's your choice.
Yeah.
Like, I have a lot of students who don't even trade actively, but they just like knowing and it helps them not get scammed.
Mm.
There's so many people who just, they're not even traders. They just get scammed because they don't realize how messed up the industry is.
Wow, I never knew that.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So it's just like knowledge. Knowledge is amazing.
It is.
You don't even have to use it all the time. You could just be like, to help you prepare, help you get self-confidence. Everyone should learn about finance, even if you're not a trader.
Totally agree. Before I was in trading, I was selling life insurance at MassMutual.
Nice.
And I was make my first YouTube videos ever were me teaching my friends basically about checkings account, savings yeah. account, how to open those things, what a 401k is, what credit card interest rate debt is, and things people that they just don't
they
know about basic finance.
They should teach this in school, you they know? Should. Tim Grittani was actually a State Farm insurance salesman.
Was he really?
He had like khaki pants.
Yeah. Yeah, Jake from State Farm.
Yeah, right? And he was doing that and he didn't like his job. Like, this is what I love about my millionaire students. They come from very humble backgrounds. Matt Monaco, Bryce Tuohy were actually roommates in college.
Really?
Matt Monaco took my challenge. Bryce didn't want to do it. And then Matt Monaco made a million and Bryce is like, I can do this. And now Matt Monaco's at 2 million. Bryce is at 1 million. But like, once you see it happening to someone you know and you're like, wait a minute, they're not that smart. They're not that special. Like, none of my millionaire students are like math geniuses or like rocket scientists. Like, this is penny stocks. We're not algorithmic trading. I'm not like a AI specialist. I can't even spell the word algorithm. Seriously.
So this brings up a really good point. You don't have to be the smartest to make money. That concept is foreign to a lot of people, especially in America, because we're conditioned to think you have to be the smartest and work the most to get paid the most. But in trading, you often will work a lot less time, yeah. especially as you get better. You have more experience. You'll work less time and make more money.
Some of the best trades happen in a few minutes. And if you're prepared, you make like a monthly salary in 5 minutes.
That's what I'm saying. How do you condition somebody from a coaching perspective? How do you teach your students to get comfortable making more money, working less hours?
Tracking your trades has never been more important, and it's also never been easier with TradeZilla. Shout out to Umar and their team for being a sponsor of today's video. We love the product. I use it in the Black Shirt Club every day in the mentor mode. I use the back testing and playbook section as well. I use it for my own trading. It helps me make improvements. It's the cute little calendar that everybody likes to see when I post my P&L. If you want to start using TradeZilla, use the link in the description, use the discount code down below, save 10% on either your monthly or your yearly membership, start tracking your trades today. It's going to help you make more money. It's going to help you know where you need to make improvements. Even if it's something as small as, hey, I'm losing a lot of money on Tuesdays. Let's figure out why am I losing money on Tuesdays. Let's figure out what time of day, what instrument, what asset, all of that and more can be found in TradeZilla. So if you're not a big tracking journaling guy, just let TradeZilla automate and do it all for you. Plus, you save some money when you use the link and the discount code down below. So thanks again to TradeZilla. Let's get back to the video.
It's tough. It's very counterintuitive. A lot of the lessons I teach are counterintuitive. This is why there's always going to be a need for education. It's not an exact science, and the best lessons are so weird. Like, literally, when I say, people are like, how do you determine when there's like a good trade? And I'm like, I'm a retired trader. And they're like, what are you talking about? You trade almost every day. I'm like, yes, but I only come out of retirement when there's a play that's so good, I would feel guilty missing it.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? What kind of messed up mindset is this? And I'm like, I'm a retired trader. I'm like Tom Brady. I only want to come back in, although Tom Brady screwed it up. He screwed up his whole life for like a mediocre season. I want to come back when there's a good play. And this is why like traveling helps me. I don't know how to get people to see it, but like I just show all my trades. I show my students' trades. And the more times you see something work, you have like those light bulb moments, especially when I call it ahead of time. It's like really cool. And you're like, oh my God, there's actually like a rhyme and reason.
It's like he
this.
Knows this is a pattern. Imagine that.
More times than not, right? Yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't work. You have to be okay with that. I lose roughly a third of the time, but I lose 1-3%. Yeah. And so just showing from my wins, from my losses, and just being real about it.
Yeah.
You know, the more times I can be real, people are just like, oh, wow, this is actually real.
It makes it a little easier to then maybe grasp, hey, this guy is working for 30 minutes. I'm driving my truck for 10 hours and he's making more money than me. Something's got to change here. My perception of how to make money needs to change.
And it's also a lot of people work these hourly paying jobs, 2-3 jobs, trying to just pay the bills. Prices are crazy. It's crazy. But there's no exponential income growth possibility.
No.
There's not enough hours in the day to pay all your debts or
to
live well.
Try to make money just selling your time. You got to make your money work.
18 hours a day.
Right.
20 if you work like ridiculous. But like you need some kind of exponential income growth curve. And that's what trading is. So like I teach people to trade small. And like people make fun of it like, oh, your students make like $20, $50. And I'm like, yes, in the beginning, like I teach them, right?
Right.
But you can do the exact same trade. Let's say you make $100 on a trade.
You can make 1,000.
With 1,000 shares. And you take 10 times the position 2 years later.
Exactly.
And instead of making 100, you make 1,000. Then later on, I mean, penny stocks have scalability issues, but you can make $50, $100,000 in a day.
Yeah.
If you're prepared and if the setup is right.
Who's easier to teach, older people or younger people?
I don't really see a difference. Younger people talk more online. So everyone's like, oh, all your millionaires are young. What about the old guys? Old people just don't want like the notoriety. Like they have like wives, ex-wives, IRS, you know, businesses. One guy, he's made over $3 million. This old guy, I was like, come on, man, represent the old people. And he's like, Tim, don't you dare mention me. Like, I'll show my trades. Like, he has like a random username.
But he doesn't want to put his face and his name on it.
Because he owns a business and he's like, I don't want my employees to know that I'm trading.
100%.
Because if my employees knew, they would trade and then they wouldn't be good employees anymore.
Damn right.
So it's like, there's these real world implications. Young people, they're just like, yeah, screw it. Social media is fun. Let me try to blow up. I want to be Logan Paul. You know, like, so it's, anybody can learn, but also younger people have an advantage where they don't have a lot of bills or responsibilities.
Right.
So they can learn for longer. Older people are like, oh damn. Like I want, like my family doesn't talk to me anymore. I'm too old and boring and I tell stupid stories. So I'm bored. That's a good student. But some people are like, I need like healthcare. I can't afford it. So I need to trade for like urgent medical care. And I'm like, no, you can't rely on trading profits for like life expenses.
100%. Because why?
You sometimes never know.
You'll take a great setup and it can still be a loss.
And you force trades. Like if your Medicare or like rent,
right,
is,
rent
due,
is due,
you're like, I got to trade.
Right.
And then you're inevitably going to trade poorly.
Right, which never works.
And you trade bigger. And sometimes it does work and then you learn the wrong lessons. So like if you learn the wrong lessons, whether you get burned this time or next time or 20 times from now, it doesn't matter because if you trade bigger and bigger, you're going to get burned.
And then the loss.
So it's actually better to get burned
in
early
the beginning
on,
when,
right?
You have less, when you have less on the line and more time.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because all we're playing with, no matter who you are, no matter what size you're trading, we're all fighting for time.
Uh-huh.
That's all
we're
trading.
We're all losing time.
We're all losing
so
time.
So the quicker you learn, the more time you'll have prepared, the more time you'll have experience, and then you can do better.
Well, I think that's what a lot of people lack nowadays is long-term vision. And you've always had a really good long-term vision. You've always been very driven and entrepreneurial where you bounce into different things. Like when you got into trading, when you broke your elbow, you were not thinking, I'm going to start stocks to trade and I'm going to start Karmagawa. Yeah. Like it never was like that, but because you stay motivated and you have that vision. Nowadays, people, like I was saying to you, in the Gen Z and all this, they don't have long-term vision. But like you just said, if you could sacrifice 3 years to then trade for the rest of your life, always take your kids to school, pick them up from school, homeschool them if you want, yeah, like I am, be with them, wouldn't you give that? Wouldn't you give the 3 years, whatever it would take?
You also have to just be introspective. You have to look at what motivates you.
It's
because,
true,
you know, money is nice, but I know a lot of rich people and they're just dead inside.
Right.
Because you work so hard to make this money, you think making money is going to be like the end all, it's going to solve all your problems. And then you're at like the top of this mountaintop all alone.
By
you're
yourself.
Like, why did I just do this? Like there's this Buddhist saying, you sacrifice all your health to get the wealth, and then your health starts to fail. Then you try to buy your way back.
And
but
you
end up in the same spot.
Right.
So like, why waste all that time? So sometimes you have to pull back. Like a lot of people are like, why do you trade small? Why do you donate to charity? That's what makes it meaningful for me. And then teaching makes it meaningful. So you have to really like fine tune. Like it's like your journey is like a piece of clay and you're always trying to mold it. It's not just about how much money you can make.
No.
And people don't understand that. I know a lot of people who only focus on money and they're worse for it.
Do you think it's because they haven't found that they've made enough yet? Like they haven't had enough success to say, maybe I should spend more time with my family. Do you think that only comes once you've made enough money?
I mean, people
or do you have to do enough mushrooms?
People have all sorts of issues. I mean, too much money, loneliness, not enough money, not enough time. You know, they want to give their family a better life. There's so many different issues, but you have to look at your own life. What makes you happiest? Because some people have a family, some people don't have a family. Some people want to travel the world, some people can backpack around the world. So it's not the same. And I know, like we talk about my millionaire students, but I have a lot of students who are non-millionaires and they're just happy to make an extra few grand a month and that changes their life.
Sure.
And so I teach that too. So like everyone wants,
it's personal.
Most people want the most money, but then once you get into it, you can actually start to fine tune it, especially with penny stocks. Tim Grittani literally hasn't traded much in like 3 years since he's had two kids. He said, I was just in Ohio meeting with him. He's literally 45 minutes away from Andrew. Didn't even mean this.
That's crazy.
A lot of my millionaire students are in boring places, so they just study and they
that
work.
Makes sense.
But he literally made $4 million in the first half of 2020. Then he had his, like, I think, second child. And he's like, I made $4 million on the year. Let me focus on being a dad. That's a good time.
Now that you know, I just had my son this year. It's amazing. I'm hoping one day you decide to have kids. I will.
Right now I'm married to my job.
I know. I heard you say that.
I have like my students are like my kids, but I will. I'll do that.
From what I remember, the last girl that you were with was a beautiful girl.
Yeah.
You've always been around beautiful women.
I have. Yes. Been very fortunate.
So I'm just surprised that you haven't decided to settle down.
You just have to figure out what makes you happiest. It's not just like the looks in somebody. It's also the lifestyle. And frankly, I travel like a madman. I'm doing like 40 countries a year. So it's tough to keep up and I'm motivated on that. Like not just building schools. We're doing my third charity documentary now.
I heard about
that. Heading to Bali. We've been building homes. We've been documenting it. We have two recycling centers now. Now I'm actually going to, when I go back in a week, I'm going to surprise this anti-trafficking charity with a $25,000 check.
I want to talk about the anti-trafficking because that's very popular.
Yeah.
You have 115 schools.
118.
In Bali alone, correct?
52 in Bali, 52 118 in Bali. Worldwide.
How much does it cost to open a school?
$25,000 to $35,000.
People think it's way more than that.
Yeah. It's well, it would be in the U.S.
In the U.S.
The dollar goes very far in third world countries.
Yes,
we're
it
in Bali, Nepal, Laos, Ghana, South Africa.
Where was the first school?
First school, I don't know which one got completed first. It was Bali and Laos. They were like right around the same time.
Why did you do it through your own charity and not Pencils of Promise or something like
that? So we did. So like charity donates to Pencils of Promise and these other charities.
Got
what
it.
We've learned is that you know, Karma Gawa is the name of my charity. It used to be the Tim Sykes Foundation. I didn't want like the name recognition. We have a soccer stadium in Cambodia.
I saw that.
And everyone's wearing a shirt that says Tim. They're all chanting Tim. They think this is like what a rich white guy wants. They just wanted to make me happy. And I was like, it's like a Black Mirror episode.
You're like, stop.
Literally,
this
500
is weird.
Kids chanting Tim, Tim,
no, that
Tim.
Is so
I'm like,
weird.
What am I starting? Like,
right.
This is wrong.
Right.
At that time, I was like, and they just wanted to make me happy. They didn't
of course,
know.
Of course.
But I was like, no, we need to change this. So I actually took on a partner. His name is Matt Abad, great photographer. So we take photos and videos of everything. So Karma Gawa, Matt is Filipino. Gawa means to do or to make in Tagalog, which is the Filipino language.
Love that.
So it's like we're making good karma.
Love that.
He posts all the photos and videos. We donate the money. We have charity merch. Just for as an example, 52 schools in Bali, but because we bring like influencers on trips and we take photos and videos and they share it, Bali Children's Project, which is our main charity partner in Bali, mm-hmm. they built another 48 schools just through social media donations.
Wow.
And before us, zero schools. So we basically found a way to double the value of a donation just by sharing
That's
it on
crazy.
Social media. It's
Doubled
amplification.
It. Crazy. Why schools? Why not houses or wells or like Mr. Beast just built a bunch of wells and a bunch of stuff. Why do you choose schools?
I mean, it's education. It's teach a man to fish versus give him a fish. We're building
sense.
Homes now too, because some people just need it, especially in the rainy season.
Right.
We're meeting families where the dad doesn't sleep during the rainy season in Bali or in the Philippines because they're afraid that their house is just going to be washed away. Like they're not in like a steady, sturdy house.
Could you imagine that?
They're putting stuff on. And I've seen this stuff. So, and now we're doing wells and now we have a clean water project. So we're doing that, but it's really education. Education has changed my life, my students' lives. And this is just like, people are like, oh, you teach these kids trading? I'm like, come on. They're not trading.
No.
They just need basic English skills,
right.
like, you know, math skills, just basic stuff. Otherwise, they're faced with a life of like manual labor or poverty. So there's no exit.
Do you have a bigger goal now? Now that you've opened these schools and you've done this with the charity, you've done the Coral Reef Project and the Rhino Project, do you have a bigger goal?
1,000 schools is the goal.
So there is a number.
Yeah, but when I hit 1,000, it'll be 10,000.
What are you going to do? 10,000, right.
You know, it's good to have a big goal, but at the same time, it's really just getting people into charity. Really excited, you know, Lance, the trader, just actually surprised us with like a donation for $30,000 for a school.
Well, you
know, getting more traders
involved.
He spends
so much time on Twitter calling people out like you and me that teach people how to trade, and he's got enough profits. He should be donating.
Yeah,
come on, Lance.
And he's a great guy, and he's donating. He's got his own charity, too.
Yeah.
Getting more traders to give back, not like as like a guilt tax. Most people look at like charity like, oh, you've done something wrong.
Well, that's what Jordan Belfort was saying to you, right? He was
right?
trying to say you're doing it right.
And I'm like, no, I actually enjoy it. It's
right.
actually given everything meaning. I like whenever I trade, like if I make 600, A, it's good to teach my students to trade small. B, $600 goes very far. Like
oh God,
we're actually feeding people in need in Bali and other places. You can feed a family of five for $45 for 1 month. $45
That's
feeds a family for 1 month.
Dude, I can't go outside my house without spending $50
in
America.
Just had like
the coffee and an Uber.
Just had a nice like entree last night at the Versace Mansion here, and it was like $80.
That's
and
what I'm
I was just like, this is so stupid. But this is why I love having perspective, going to third world countries. I encourage everyone to visit a third world country, whether it's India, you know, Philippines, Indonesia, anywhere.
People
because
are very
it gives
bullish
you perspective.
On India. Very bullish on India. What's your favorite country that you've been to?
I mean, so what people always ask me this, like I say Italy for lifestyle. I love Italy. Fantastic. Japan for food. I love that.
Yeah.
Bali, Indonesia and Philippines for charity. South Africa for adventure, the Caribbean for a tan. Like, I literally go everywhere.
Whatever you need.
It's a beautiful time to be alive where you can do that. This was impossible. Yeah. You know, like, we're all living in this ridiculously amazing time in the history of the world.
It's true.
We take it for granted. Too many people take it for granted. You sit home, you order your Uber Eats, you watch Netflix. You're like, oh, Netflix is so cheap. Uber is so cheap. It steals your time.
It steals your time.
They both steal your time. Netflix is cheap, but you can't get your time back.
It's a trap.
So
I know you employ your mom and dad.
Yeah.
How did that come about? Because that's so cool.
That's just me needing help and then seeing me like overwhelmed.
not wanting to help mom and dad. It's me needing help.
They literally saw how overwhelmed I was. And like, we have other employees now too, but like, they just helped. And then it was like, you know, in this business, like, it's a weird business because like, most people think like you make a lot of money as a trading teacher. Like I told you before, we've lost money for 2 straight years.
Which people will be surprised to hear.
Because they get totally wrong perspective about everything. Right. Why would I even do it if I'm losing money?
This guy must
money?
Be selling more courses than he's making from
What's
trading.
What's the scam here? Right. What's going on?
Right.
Like, there's a crypto imposter and they're like, Tim Sykes, I know where you make your money. I'm like, damn, it's probably like some scammer in Nigeria who's like scamming people.
Literally.
I'm proud to lose money for 2 years. Not that much. And we've been profitable in the past, so I can afford it. But we're hiring a lot of people. Like, Stocks to Trade now has all these new AI programs. AI is expensive. We're investing in the future. We see what actually creates millionaire students. It's okay to, like I teach the students, it's okay to take losses, small losses on your trades.
Business
it's okay
is the
to
same.
Take small losses because if you have a long-term vision, you have to invest in your future.
Yeah.
So we have a lot of new tools, programming tools coming out, a lot of new stuff that takes time, money, effort right now, but it pays off later on. Like,
sure.
We just have 2 new AI programs, XGPT and Iris, that have taken 2 years of programming.
Wow.
Costs a lot of money to create, but now they're just starting to be useful. And they're learning too. This is the beauty of AI, where some people say, oh, it's just another hype thing. But like, AI can learn. And if you just set it out there, it starts to blossom. It's actually pretty crazy.
That is crazy. And it's also with the AI stuff, it's expensive because it's skills that you and me that are not pros in that area, we can't just go learn it. It's not like you just pick that up very quickly.
So there was an interview that Sam Altman gave in India. I don't know if you saw this. He's very direct, right? Of OpenAI.
Yeah.
And there was like a nice like Indian guy in the audience. And he's like, Sam, what if a startup gets into AI? Like, you know, we don't have billions, but we have 10 million. How do we compete? And Sam Altman's like, you don't.
Oh my God.
And he just says it so matter-of-factly. Insert this video if you can, or like post a link to it. And he's like, you don't. And the Indian guy's like, and it's like awkward. And Sam Altman's like, no, I'm just being serious. Like, we have billions. We have years of experience. You can't compete. Don't even bother.
That's crazy.
But that's AI. Like, AI is so investment heavy. And this is why NVIDIA is surging. This is why like plays like SMCI is surging.
Yep.
Because you need to invest before you can even enter the game.
Right.
So that's what you have to play on, right? And I think AI is going to change the stock market world. Not necessarily like auto trading, which I don't believe in, but, you know, to help your research process, because it can just crunch so much data.
For sure.
Like, you know, XGPT, our AI program, just picked out PBLA 2 days ago. And I had it on my watch list, but I'd forgotten about it. And then it brought it to the forefront. I was like,
I could see it now, a YouTube series, Tim versus the AI. Who can pick better stocks?
I mean, I might be able to pick better now, but in 3 years, it'll destroy me.
Because
it learns, right? And like, that's the beauty of this.
Right.
So we're trying new stuff like that. So I don't mind losing small because we're starting programs that are really going to learn and expand in the future.
It's a good investment to your business, 100%.
And it's like what you want to do in the business. There's a lot of companies out there teaching space and they're just like hot picks and it's like they burn their email
list. No AI, no nothing. They're not going to adapt. They're not going to grow.
Well, they're also just not in it for their student success. They're just like, oh, 90% of traders lose. Who cares? Whatever we put out.
They're looking at their churn rate. They think if I'm losing 20% a month, we get 20% and then blah,
they're
blah,
just
blah.
Like, there's a new sucker all
there's
the time. That's like
time.
The main gist of the teaching business. And I don't believe it. I think that there's a new potential millionaire student all the time if you teach properly and you give them the right
tools. Well, you proved that already.
Well, it's just, starting, right? Like, okay, I have a few dozen millionaire students. It doesn't.
Yeah, but come on. That's what you got to brag about the most, Tim, is nobody has millionaire students like you.
I understand.
Nobody.
Well, someone was like telling me, like, oh, you know, like, you should like trade bigger. They analyze my trading techniques and they're like, you're not that good. I was like, yeah, you're right. I trade like from planes with one laptop. I'm not like optimized for trading.
Right.
Half of the freaking Kinfo leaderboard are my students.
Right.
The top 10,
literally.
Like 5 of the top 10 are my challenge students.
It's crazy.
And I'm like, my students are my testimonials.
Yep.
So if I can teach them, and again, even just in the beginning, I'm not claiming all their success.
No, of course.
I'm like their training wheels.
Yeah.
Someone said like, oh, That's like your what is it? Like a preschool teacher claiming success for everyone. And I was like,
in
this example, it's more like kindergarten through like junior high. Like, but it is the beginning
in
stages.
In a way, I can understand that. But at the same time,
I'm simple. I'm a simple guy.
But you're also consistent. You show without talking about it how to be consistent.
Yeah.
You've been sharing every trade you take, which leads me to an important question.
Tell me.
You are louder now than before about not calling all of your trades publicly because people will follow you into a trade or not follow you into a trade. Why have you never started a Tim Sykes signal service?
I don't think that's a good way to trade.
Because it's anti-education?
Yeah, I don't think it's a good way to learn. Yeah. Like, it's people want these copy trading services. They want this, like, auto stuff. They want it easier. I don't think that's good. Like, There was actually a good interview the other day with some academic who's anti-AI, not because he doesn't believe in the potential for AI, but because AI simplifies things and you don't learn through the grunt work. He learned a lot. He gave this whole story of how he learned a lot through the grunt work. And even in the example he gave, he was wrong about something, but he learned a lot about himself in the process through the grunt work.
Sure.
And I believe the same thing. So AI, I don't think should be auto trading. For me, AI crunches data, and I think it simplifies the grunt work. I still want to learn, but like it'll bring up a pattern that I might not see or a stock that I forget about, and it analyzes much more. So I think it's like having more eyes, which is useful.
I think that's a really important answer because AI can be very intimidating, I'm sure, especially to the older people that you do introduce into day trading, because I'm sure you get a fair amount of students that are 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. I don't want to be doing my job anymore. I want to transition into trading.
Yeah.
Those people are the ones typically, I think of like my parents, that get intimidated by AI. But if you can position it to them that AI is going to be a tool, not going to replace you, then why wouldn't you want it?
So I say it's like the droids in Star Wars. Like you have C-3PO, you have R2-D2. They all help. Like there's many more. I'm not a Star Wars guy.
But
there's a lot of droids and they all have different things,
yeah.
right? And
yeah.
so they can help you. And people just need to understand that. People are always afraid of new technology. Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm basically a glorified history teacher. When the car came out, all the horse and buggy drivers were like, down with cars.
Of course.
Cars were more efficient. Shut up,
right?
When talkies came out, all the silent movie stars were like, down with talkies. No more silent movies. Then more recently, and this is crazy, people forget about this, but ATMs came out and bank tellers protested them. They said, no ATMs.
Really?
They're going to put us out of business. Bank tellers union unite.
No
and there's
way.
Picket lines with all the bank tellers. What happened? ATMs came out. Did bank tellers go bye-bye? No. ATMs actually boomed the whole banking industry. There was more bank tellers necessary. ATMs do very simple transactions. They can't do all the transactions. You don't want it to. It's very simple.
Right.
So I think AI can do simple stuff. Maybe it'll be even like complex stuff over time.
Sure.
But it's going to make everything much more efficient. Like there's a reason why Amazon's hitting new highs, Nvidia's hitting new highs, Tesla was hitting new highs. They have their own issues. But like we're just at the start to see what AI can do efficiency wise and add to the profitability of companies.
Why?
Amazon has 750,000 robots. I don't know if you know this.
750,000?
Now working in all their little robot factories.
And all of that is a form of AI.
Yeah.
When they're moving around the warehouse.
And they're learning. So they're on like their 80th iteration of these robot factories. Their manual laborers who work at factories are going to be gone in a few years. Same thing with like Uber
fast
drivers.
Food. Yep.
Yeah. You have ghost kitchens. Like there's so many new technologies. So people are scared AI is going to take their job. You should be scared if you don't have the proper skills.
You got to innovate.
Well, but they're just going to take the bottom layer of like the workforce, right?
So
there's now like robots that pick fruit. I don't know if you saw
I've seen it. Yeah, the tree, it'll shake it and they'll come down or whatever.
And it can actually analyze the fruit. So like a normal person, like, okay, you're picking the fruit, you have to look at it. But literally it's got flying drones and analyzes the fruit. Like, is it ready to pick?
Right,
and if it doesn't,
it
moves
on. Crazy.
Then that's just a start. Drones are just starting. So you can't be afraid of technology. It's going to happen with or without you. You might as well embrace it.
Good answer. Favorite trading books of all time?
Reminiscences of a Stock Operator, Edwin Lefebvre, which is Jesse Livermore.
Classic.
Pen name. Although he also bet too big, took on too much margin,
and
lost
ended,
everything,
right,
committed suicide.
Committed suicide and died broke, right?
Yeah.
Crazy story.
Crazy story.
Why do you like that book so much?
I mean, it's just like it romanticizes trading. Like
it does.
He started with nothing. It's a beautiful story. It's inspirational. I love inspirational stories, right?
Okay.
I like Rudy, the football movie.
Great
right?
movie.
You're 5 foot nothing, 100 and nothing.
That's
you
me.
Got hardly a
That's
speck
me.
Of athletic ability in you, and you hung around the best football land in the team. I
right?
Can't
no,
even say it.
Great movie. Great
yeah.
movie.
I met the real Rudy, and
did
I did
really?
That speech. So that's why
awesome.
I used to memorize it. Now I'm fading.
who inspires you or who do you look up to in the trading space today? Oh, look, I'm making them think.
I know.
All right,
not much.
It's a good answer.
I just don't. Like, it's okay. Because it's the best traders don't share their trades, like the people who make the most. The best teachers, share, but like you don't really get the whole thing. Like I had a talk with like Stevie Cohen, you know, a legendary trader. And I had a really good talk with him, 45-minute talk. And it was good, but it was like very surface level. Like he wasn't going into like the details. And I was like, I want this real stuff. But like we had just met, like they're not going to do that. So like it's tough. But who cares? Like, you know, you don't need to be inspired by everybody. You can still learn from everybody.
For sure. Other than Stephen Cohen, who is a legendary trader, insider trader, who else have you met on your travels and through your celebrity that is noteworthy? Anybody interesting?
Just had a good meeting with Brad Pitt a few months ago, which was crazy.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Wait, you want to hear him? Wait, listen to this. I recorded this this whole, we did this interview for Karmagawa.
Dude, he looks like he's like 28 years old. He looks as young as...
He's Benjamin Button.
That's really a
documentary of his life.
Yeah, no, it really is.
But check this out. Wait, should I put it in the microphone?
Yeah, put it in the microphone.
Listen.
And they're just, you know, like, first question is like, how did you...
Right after Katrina. And
can you hear this?
The Lower Ninth had been completely wiped out. They lost over 1,800 lives. They were the hardest hit.
Yeah.
So what were you talking to him about?
So he has a charity that was building homes in New Orleans for Katrina.
Cool.
He made some mistakes too. Like, so it's not like a perfect story. Like, you know, he learned from his mistakes. So like we're talking about like lessons from charity.
Where did you meet him?
So there was like this whole like gathering, like his team reached out and wanted to like, you know, Karmagawa.
I'm surprised you said him over Leonardo. Cause I feel like DiCaprio's into the climate change stuff.
I've met him too.
Oh,
he's good too. Like, you know, this is just funny. Cause I just have this audio thing. I have to write this blog post about him.
That's crazy.
So it's just on my like to-do list. But, yeah, I mean, you meet a lot of celebrities. There's good people. There's interesting people. You know, even like the biggest stars, like Brad is so humble. It was crazy.
Really?
It was crazy how humble he is. Yeah, we're like, you know, we're talking about like my partner Matt on Karmagawa. Him and I are like having dinner with him. And we're talking about how like fortunate we are to travel. And he's like, look at my life. Like, I'm so fortunate. And I was like, yes, you are, Brad Pitt.
Like, it is nice to hear somebody say that. Like, you know what I mean?
I mean, he's from the Midwest. I think he's from Missouri or Kentucky.
Normal dude.
Normal guy. And he has like a good perspective. And it's crazy. He's actually all tatted up.
Yeah.
You don't realize that.
No, I've heard that.
So like Matt, my partner, is all tatted up. So they're comparing tattoos and stuff like that. And I was like, Brad Pitt, like he gets makeup.
It's always covered in all the movies.
And you don't realize that.
No, it's crazy.
So it's, you know, movie magic. But he's cool. Like, and he wants to help. And, you know, he was honest about his mistakes. And he wants to, like, do better with charity in the future. And, like, you know, we've tried to do charity projects. Like, we tried to build a 3D printed school in Madagascar. 3D printing has huge potential.
Yeah.
Normal school is $25,000 to $35,000. We actually donated $180,000 for this because I'm like, oh, new technology. The price is high now, but it's going to come down later. Total mess. Total mess. Because like literally you're shipping this giant 3D printer to the school and it's a 9-hour drive from the airport to the school.
God.
On the way, the printer got,
damaged.
And then we had to send it back, and it wasn't $180,000 at first. It was supposed to be less, but then you had to repair the damage, and there was another multi-month wait. Long story short, we built the school. The local charity that we partnered with, it was funny, sad. On the initial drawings and the images, it was their charity and our charity and the logos. Then when the school gets built, it's just their charity. And then there's a BBC article, and then the BBC came and only mentioned them. And I was like, that's funny, because we funded 90% of this.
Right.
So some things don't go well.
Interesting. Is that what introduces you to more people now than the trading? The trading is a small group of people that want to get into trading. The charity is anybody,
Like celebrities I'm meeting through the charity. They don't want to get involved with penny stocks. No one likes penny stocks. They're like, oh, Jordan.
Do you find yourself, do you not even want to tell them that you're a penny stock guy?
I mean, I say it, but I know how the world thinks about penny stocks. Like, I'm just used to it. Like, I benefit by being real in an industry full of scams. So when most people think, like, even some of my top students who their parents, like, gave them crap, they're like, this is a scam. So I'm used to it, right? And most trading teachers are scams.
Yeah.
So I'm in a scammy industry of trading. I'm in a scammy industry of, like, teaching. Jordan Belfort invented both, right? And I gave him props. I was like, you invented penny stocks seminar market.
I'm surprised that video only has 20,000 views.
Because it got very technical, right?
It did get technical.
It wasn't like...
Maybe that's why I liked it. I watched the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I liked that you guys didn't always agree. I like that he was, you know.
He's pre-internet. You have to understand, he's pitching penny stock scams before you could research, and people just believed it.
Yeah.
Now with the internet, like, you have to be an idiot to believe this, although there are a lot of idiots.
There's still a lot of idiots.
It was technical. It was a good conversation. He was a nice guy.
Yeah.
Just didn't go anywhere at all.
No, it didn't. Didn't move very far.
There was a video between him and Grant Cardone, which was very different. And yes, they just disagreed on everything.
They just fight the whole time.
And it's like, it's comedy gold.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
We're like, Jordan says one thing and Grant's like, no. And like, Jordan's like, yes.
Yes.
And they're just literally disagreeing on everything.
He's like, well, this is a sales tactic. He's like, yeah. But Grant Cardone just goes, yeah, but get me more leads. Like, or something like that.
Like, Jordan Belfort is like, so if your client says no and Grant Cardone says, yeah, but no is an
right, I don't take the no, right.
As an active interest. And Jordan's like, no, if he says no, there's no interest. And Grant says, no, you're just not selling enough.
Right.
And it was just like hilarious.
Right.
We didn't go that far. We're just talking about the ups and downs.
But he did say, you know, in some ways he was like, you know, I remember him, I think he mentioned, he was like, people are going to see you donating your money to charity, Tim. Yeah. They're going to be cynical of that. They're going to think you're doing something shady. I don't think a lot of people think that. I think he thinks that because I think that's his background.
I mean, the charity world is full of scams too.
Oh my God, like, of course.
And then there's virtue signalers and they're like, oh, we have to announce it. Part of the reason why we're doing this documentary is to show, look, we're donating. Then by sharing on social media, instead of being quiet, like some people think like, just donate the money and be quiet about it. But I'm like, no, we're going to donate and amplify it.
Yeah.
Now, one-to-one, basically. I build a school, we donate, we post about it. We get another donation.
You're doing it the right way. I will say that, not just because you're sitting here, because I'm very skeptical
people
of donating.
People can think whatever they want. I see the data. Course.
But I'm like, you donate money to the Red Cross, bro. I don't know how much money is going to. They got admin.
2%.
They got, right. You are editing, narrating, building the documentary from the ground up. You're actually the one doing a lot of this work.
You just have to, you know, it's no different than trading. You have to do it your way. You have to do it yourself. You have to get into the nuances.
Yeah.
The most money that you can make, the most success you'll have will be in the smallest details. If you leave those details, you won't be successful. Like if I just had a team and like, pick whatever charity you want, some inevitably is going to go bad. Even I did all the details with the Madagascar and it can still go bad. Like with trading, you can, you know,
do all the research, have the perfect setup, and it still goes bad. Right.
So like I was very nuanced with this Madagascar charity and it still went to crap. Although I don't blame myself. There were two girls who had this local Madagascar charity. They were best friends. And when the BBC thing went live, there was only one girl. And I asked the other girl, I was like, what happened? She's like, oh, she kicked me out. So it's not me. There's some other drama always. So I don't feel
as bad.
I don't feel that bad. I was like, oh, okay, it's not me. She does this to everybody. You know, that's just going to happen. So the documentaries, people think like, oh, you're, you know, the donations are paying for your travel. I pay 100% of the travel, all the charity expenses. That's my own personal expense. I take pride in that. My accountant's like, you know, this isn't like tax efficient. I'm like, shut up. I'm having fun. This is what I want to do. Like, I'm not, there's no way to make money on charity. People think like this is some like tax shelter or some kind of scam.
No,
it's not.
No, it's not.
We've donated nearly $10 million now through my trading profits, through the charity merch, and then through online fundraisers.
It's incredible.
And that's in 6 years.
It's incredible.
So it's a start.
It really is. If you had to go back, how long have we been going? And we could keep talking about that.
You tell me.
Yeah, Jay, how long have we been going? A little over an hour?
An hour and 2 minutes.
Perfect. Last question then.
True.
Final question.
Cool.
If you could go back to when you first started trading, broken elbows, Tommy John, whatever you had surgery from tennis.
Yeah.
What would you tell that kid?
Ooh. There would be a lot. I would really say, you know, focus on your education in a structure that would be replicable rather than just going for a lot of money at first, like I thought. Didn't have their proper perspective, didn't have the rules. Even though I turned the 12,000 into nearly 2 million before college, like my win rate was like probably 40%. I had big wins, big losses. You can control your losses. I just didn't know it at the time. Don't believe in companies, you know, expect the worst, you'll never be disappointed. Trade small and then develop a habit that then you can scale up later on with data. Use Excel spreadsheets. To date, I've never used an Excel spreadsheet on any of my trades. That's a mistake. I have more Excel spreadsheets on like restaurants because I love restaurants. I have lists of restaurants. I'm really fine-tuned with my restaurants and charities. So I wish I had applied that to trading. Like I said, like I didn't have the best structure for learning, and my own personal trading suffers as a result. But I've been doing this long enough, and I have like the overall general picture. And then the cool thing is like my students are filling it in. Like we have this book, The Complete Penny Stock Course, written by one of my students, Jamil, because he's like, Tim, you're all over the place. Here's a book. I have another student, Andrea, who just wrote another book. And he's like, here this is. And he was just crossing 50,000 or he's crossing 45,000 when he made it, this book like 3 months ago. Now he's made like 15 grand in the past few weeks. So he's updating the book. I have to read this on my flight to Bali next week.
It's a good answer. I think we'll pin it here. Tim, it's been a pleasure.
No, thanks, man.
I can't thank you enough. For everybody listening, make sure you follow, if you don't already follow Tim. We'll put the Twitter, the Instagram down below. Should we send him to Stocks to Trade if we want to send him to a website?
At Timothy Sykes and Stocks to Trade. Don't believe any like Timothy Sykes backup account or look at spelling. Like there's not like Stocks to Trade with like three E's at the end.
Yep.
They're scammers galore. You've got to warn about that.
Extra underscores, extra numbers. Yeah,
sad.
We appreciate you guys listening all the way through. I know that everybody found some value in this and a little entertainment. Tim's a great guy.
It's boring. No entertainment.
See?
He's bored.
I know. I should have had him drink a Red Bull. We should have shotgun Red Bulls before
we started. I had coffee right there before we started.
Until next time, everybody, make sure you're subscribed. Hit the button down below, and we'll see you the next episode.